Right, and also just it's following up on our discussion previously, just about the fact that Tesla had become such a large proportion of my portfolio, and that always makes me a little bit nervous. So when I get a forever stock, quote unquote, that ends up becoming a large share of my portfolio, I will trim that back. I will prune the tree, if you will, so that I have a cash available to buy other stocks. I think that's just prudent money management. Tesla still being a top five holding for me, it had become an incredibly outsized number one holding for me prior to me cutting it back. And I think that the question we're trying to figure out is kind of like something that everybody's wrestling with, is trying to figure out, okay, well, when is the right time on a rental? You know, like, okay, we got a forever stock and okay, maybe I'm trimming it because it's become too big. It's affecting my sleep because it's such a big proportion of a portfolio, whatever. But what about on these rentals that you do, Todd? And again, a rental, Joe, I define as being something that's kind of catalyst driven. It's a short-term event, or it might be a cyclical, something like that. And then, you know, there's a few different ways, and you got to find the one that dovetails best with your own personality, right? When it comes to booking trades, selling rentals, it really is, you're going to have to find something that works for you. Otherwise, you're always going to have this feelings of regret, and you'll always be trying to say, oh, I should have held it longer. Once you've settled on your rules, find the thing that works for you. And once you've settled on it, once you click the sell button, move on to the next idea. Okay. Be totally okay with the stock running much higher or whatever. Now, there are a few different approaches that you can take, and I guess I'll share my screen again so that, you know, we can pull up some charts and take a look at some of these different stocks and ways to approach it. So, for example, let's say that, and this is not the case for me, I actually own Coupa as a forever stock, but let's say that you had bought Coupa because of some sort of defined thing and you wanted to term it a rental. It was your shorter term position trader on it. You know, one of the things that I tend to do is when a stock goes vertical, Joe, I would sell some. So you've got this vertical move in Coupa, right? Where it ran here from, you know, around 335 to 369 in really short order, broke out to a new high, right? You also had that happen, volume was rising, right? So I would take some off on that vertical move. Right. And you got to figure out what's right for you. It may be a third, it may be a half, right? Somewhere, something like that. Could be a quarter. Yep. But a third or a half is probably a good starting point. And you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to take that off. Now, sure enough, oftentimes, Joe, you'll see a stock that'll bust out to new highs, like Coupa did, kind of trend sideways and then pull on back to its moving average. That it does happen, especially if it's been a vertical move. So, you know, I think that makes sense to sort of protect yourself. I mean, the temptation is to say, wow, it's busting up to new highs, I should buy more. Well, theoretically, but then you'd have to have like a 1 or 2% stop loss below you, but then you'd be banged down on the stop loss, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that from, you know, a portfolio management standpoint, if you're talking about a very short-term oriented portfolio, then you could say to yourself, okay, if I get a big vertical move in a particular stock, well, let's look at FUBU, which is a Twitter darling that has come back, right?
Yes.
This would be probably the best example of a true vertical that needs to be sold, right? I mean, that's just an unsustainable parabolic move higher. And right, when you get something like that, you know, you're not going to be buying here at 60. Somebody did.
Somebody right? did.
But you don't want to do that. Right. So you take some off, and then from each chunk down, you have some sort of a risk control. So maybe you say, okay, I'm going to either take off another quarter or another half if it goes up another 10%, or I'm going to take off another half or another quarter if it falls more than 10%. You know what I'm saying? So that as it's falling down here, you're booking the gain. You won't ever get the absolute bottom or the absolute top with a process like this. But what it is it's good discipline, it's good money management. Because the goal, if you want to be in this long haul, if you want to be doing this 20, 30 years out, if you want to survive and not get blown up, you got to stop trying to pick the bottom and pick the top, right? You got to capture the bulk of the move. So worry less about being perfect and worry more about winning. And the way to win long term is to kind of have these disciplines. And again, it's going to be, you know, each person has to find what works for them. One of the things that I do, and we've talked about semiconductors a lot, Joe, in the past, this was a basket that's a seasonally strong basket. We started talking about it, I think probably in whenever we started doing the show back in September, October, whenever it was, as a basket to own. And, you know, for me, the semiconductors are kind of fall in that cyclical camp, a lot of them, especially the semi equipment plays, because the book to bill is usually very strong through the fall. It strengthens, and then it strengthens strong through the first quarter of the year. So in those kind of scenarios, I often will take profits when I get up 20%. So that's another rule that you could sort of say. It's just a line in the sand where you say, if I get up to, into the green, roughly 20% above the pivot where ideally I would have bought, then, you know, I'm going to take some off the table there. So there's a few different ways to answer the question. I know I've kind of like jumped around a lot. It's kind of like a garden hose, but I think that what you do is if you go vertical, you sell a little bit on the vertical. And then if you get up 20%, you sell a little bit to protect yourself once you're up 20%. And then as far as controlling your losses, I tend to try and do my entries on pullbacks. And ideally do my pullback at, you know, at or near support where I can define an exit. And as we talked about on last week's show, I'm looking to control my risk to about an average loss per position of 10%. So, you know, I'm watching some of these stocks, like we put on Seattle Genetics. I bought Seattle Genetics last week. I'm down about 7.5% on that entry. So now it starts to get me a little bit nervous about it. I got to watch it. It's sitting right on its 200-day moving average, just about. So I'm going to want to see it turn up from here to show that, yep, that was a good entry and I'm going to make some money on this after all. But so I think that you can control the risk and on your rentals that way too. Try to enter your positions near support and then have a defined line in the sand where you're going to say, you know what, I'll take that loss and move on to the next idea, because there's plenty of ideas and I know I'll have a new one tomorrow that I can get into.